So could you, Kelly, situate us and say what brings you here?
Where we are, we're at Charbot Lake, Ontario, which is 47 miles northeast of Kingston. And it's Haudenosaunee territory, and being claimed by Algonquins currently, and based on evidence that we've uncovered that this was and always has been land that belongs to the Iroquois Confederacy.
And what brings you in this land?
To reclaim it as Iroquois Confederacy land.
To reclaim the land?
Mm-hmm.
And are you Iroquois?
Yes. Well, I am, but not the rest of my family. The rest of them are all status Algonquins. For some reason, we're not really sure. Nobody has an explanation as to why we're Algonquins, but I've always refused to accept Algonquin status based on our family history and the history of this lake. It's a well-known fact that Charbot Lake was named after a famous Mohawk chief, Francois Charbot, who was my great-great-grandfather.
Would you like to tell us a bit about the history of the Charbots?
The Charbots came here from Lake of Two Mountains on two separate occasions. They originally came here in the 1700s, late 1700s, and came back and established their family here. My great-great-grandfather stayed here while his two brothers returned prisoners back to their people who were Algonquin at that time. And they married into, the one brother married into Golden Lake Algonquins. And ever since then, we've had to fix history.
Is there other struggles that brings you here or to reclaim this land, this particular?
There's a lot of different struggles. Number one, there's a uranium mine at Charbot Lake, which I've been trying to help at a distance by working with some other Algonquin communities. But they refuse to accept the fact that the Charbots were anything but Algonquins. In turn for that, I did the best I could for living on Vancouver Island, and once we seen that we had no other choice, my partner actually stepped up to the plate and chose to sell everything that we owned on Vancouver Island to come here and help, because everything that we uncovered that had to do with the uranium mine, from the uranium mine to my family being listed as Algonquins, to what's happened to the whole Native community in general. And the trail of evidence shows that anybody that seemingly belongs to the Iroquois Confederacy is almost a targeted person. So can't really get anywhere when you're fighting a uranium mine or the province of Ontario or the government of Canada, for that matter, or Indian Affairs.
How the uranium concerns a problem, a problematic.
Oh my gosh, well, I've received water reports from all over Ontario that proves from this uranium mine creates an awful lot of pollution in the water. Just even staying here in a provincial park with our name on it is kind of insulting, that the water here has to be treated three times before it's even considered safe by any means. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, the residents that live in the area, that don't have the luxury of treating their water three times before they drink it, which is an extreme concern. And for some reason, it seems like this Algonquin, being everybody's Algonquin here, has facilitated this uranium mine, and in my mind, the government has allowed it to happen. It has allowed this to happen and allowed these people to drill the holes which intentionally caused the pollution, yet these poor Algonquin communities around here are going to end up taking the fall for it probably, you know, when they've done nothing but fight for it. I mean, they've had people go to jail to stop the uranium mine, but nobody seems to take that into consideration in all of it, too. So it's actually separated our native communities, both personally on my part because of my family's involved in both communities, and so it's put us in a very volatile situation as far as I'm concerned.
And what is the reaction of the community and of the government involved?
Well, it's denial, mostly. The government totally denies any wrongdoing in any of this. Doesn't even believe that it's Iroquois or Confederacy land at this point, as far as I'm concerned. They've allowed this uranium mine, they've allowed a negotiating team to even negotiate the land here. And when I've submitted land claims based on being a Mohawk Sharbat, I've been told in writing by Michael Bryant and Chuck Strahl and the the negotiating table, whatever they are called this week, that I wasn't even allowed to submit a land claim until they were done negotiating, which really didn't even make any sense. I mean, based on the Confederacy's laws, we don't have to lay a land claim. We know whose land it is, but obviously this under the First Nations, they felt it necessary to lay claim to the land for some reason. I don't know yet. Probably to facilitate this uranium mine, and I think there's a bigger picture to all of this. I believe that it's there's more to this than just the uranium mine. They don't strip 30,000 acres of land and drill 109 holes for nothing.
And what's the reaction of the communities? There's some that collaborate with the government, but also is there communities that support your fight?
Well, we've had some communities support in what the Sharbats are doing. Ironically, a few of them are Algonquin communities that are 100% behind us. But there are certain Algonquin communities that are not accepting of the truth. Again, that's probably for alternative reasons. We can't really say for sure, but it's a very sick and sad story when they use natives against each other, even in the same family, against a uranium mine, you know. Just pretty sad.
Can you tell us about a little bit about the context in which you lead this struggle and this fight against the mines and to take back the land, and also the way that your people are gonna make it?
Again, there's, you know, I have to follow the great law of peace under the Iroquois Confederacy and do things according to our own government's ways. But because we're classified as Canadians or citizens of Canada, whatever you want to call us, you also have to abide by their laws. So I have to do this by myself as title holder of this land. I'm a female, therefore I am title holder, but I'm also the only Sharbat that, again, would not accept Algonquin status. I'll say because I knew better. And so my intentions is to play by the government of Canada's rules so that I can get the message out the proper way. It's not that easy because you get intimidation factors brought into your world, such as, I mean, we were only here for 2 days, and myself personally, I mean, I'm a 48-year-old mother, no history of violence for a division of the OPP called the Aboriginal Relations Team, which is invented after the Ipperwash scandal, to send them to come and visit me while I'm camping in Charlotte Lake was a deep concern for me, based on why. I don't know why, if I'm a Mohawk, is that why they would send the police here? And then yesterday morning we had another visit from the OPP. They never stopped and talked to us, but they took our plates and run my other family members' plates while they sat here. And that's a little intimidating when the police force that you think is supposed to be here to protect you are 1 minute, then they come back and they're checking on you because you're a Mohawk. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm just going to abide by the rules and file necessary court documents and try and do things the proper way and hope that I get heard. And I can't see why the government won't sit down with us and talk to us about this, but they feel that they can't, I guess. So time will tell. I'll just do things the right way, the best I can, and file whatever I have to file to help and reclaim this land on behalf of my family. There was only 4 Charbots living, and they deserve better than this.
Can you draw us a bit, or situate us, the territory claim, the land claim? Or
the actual, based on the history that we've uncovered, there's been a bunch of us researching this for a number of years, not just, you know, this has been an ongoing thing for the past 20 years. There's been many, many people researching and all coming to the same conclusion. The current land that is involved in just Ontario itself is an enormous part of Ontario, from Mattawa over to, I forgot the name of the place, Quinte, is it the Bay of Quinte on the other side, the land claim, that's actually Confederacy land, goes all the way down right through, it goes down almost to Florida, the whole proper Confederacy land, and of course we're already aware of Ganistewaki and Akwesasne and all that on the Quebec side. So that's actual Confederacy land, and the treaty for that was never put into force, never followed to the letter according to the documents that we have. So it's most of Ontario.
You're talking about the Confederacy. Can you tell us which nation she represents?
That's the Iroquois Confederacy.
Haudenosaunee Confederacy.
Haudenosaunee Confederacy.
You want to know the nation that Kathy represents? Kathy represents the Ganyokeaga Nation, which means the people of the Flint. It is the Mohawk original name for the Mohawk people is the Ganyokeaga. It's the, as I said, the original name of the Mohawk people.
Yeah, as far as the Iroquois Confederacy and who they are, they're actually title holders. They were the first government that was ever on Canada, the United States. They've always been here from 5,000 years ago. They're still here to this day. They're a separate and total different government than the rest of Canada. And people don't even know it. That's, which is hard to understand for whether, no matter who you are in Canada and the United States, right? So that's my intention, though, is to not only make it known about what's happened at Charlotte Lake, I feel that the government should step up to the plate and settle this once and for all, mostly because of the way our brothers and sisters are being treated in the community. I mean, last week there were 2 Mohawk women badly beaten at the by Canadian Border Services guards. One lady so badly that she's suffered a major heart attack, and she owns one of the newspapers. She owns Mohawk Nation News, and I sat in the courtroom the whole day while we watched the other lady go through this justice system based on her great law. And when the courts actually acknowledge that there seemingly is a problem, I can't understand why the courts can acknowledge it and the government just continually allows it to happen. For instance, for Sean Brandt, who's, you know, they've labeled and endorsed posters politically naming Sean Brandt a terrorist in his own country, when, you know, for anybody, whether they're Canadian or U.S. citizen, to the Brandts are one of the only natives that are even have the luxury of being in the history books. And when they classify a member of my Turtle Island as a terrorist, I think we have a problem. I don't understand how anyone could call anybody that's in our history books a terrorist. I mean, we've had a lot of politicians that I think we could call a whole lot worse than that, but that doesn't... it doesn't work for me. When you see slowly people, you know, getting arrested for things, and you in turn, for example, I gave this anonymous person that called me, that told me that he was from a member of National Security or something. When I give him unequivocal evidence of Sean Brandt, who I've never had the luxury of meeting. I look forward to meeting him someday. Endorse the fact that, you know, this person gave me threats in writing against Sean Brandt and his family, and I turned this evidence over to what I thought was the police department, and they ignored it. That's a problem for me as well, you know, because again, I didn't know Sean, but I heard about his story, and when I was actually watching the news when he was arrested and had spoken to this national security person, it didn't make any sense what even the police were telling me, what I was watching on TV, what you hear now since I'm here, what I hear from the community about what happened to Sean. As a person in this country, I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Was there other threats of that kind that happened to you since you implicated yourself in this fight?
Oh, we've had lots of weird things happen to us. We can't really give 100% evidence of who it is, but many, many different things have happened for us. We've had private investigators. I've had police. I've had national security. I've had my computer hacked, my phone tapped. I find it very peculiar that there's about 30 towers, radio towers, cell phone towers, and four dishes sitting 20 feet away from me, yet I can't get television service or a decent phone connection in the area. And if I go down to Tiendanega or anywhere else, it's the same thing. There's no luxuries or connection, as I guess is what you could call it, unfortunately, to the outside world, seemingly. They even, it seems like they try and cut the communication ties off.
How can we implicate or support well, this stop of uranium mine, this reclaiming of land, and all that you're...
Simply, for me, communication is the big thing. It would be really nice if some members of our so-called Canadian government and U.S. government would step up to the plate. I don't feel that they have the right to at this point. Based on the evidence, it looks like... it's the queen herself that we should be dealing with, even though she's not sovereign over this nation any longer. They're the ones that made the deal at the end of the day. As far as supporting us, getting the word out there at this point amongst Canada and the United States is the best thing at this point. The one thing in all of this, the truth will set us free, and I've said that to almost everybody I've talked to about this, that we're not going to get anywhere with this corrupt society. We need to get the story straight once and for all, and get it all on the table at the same time, because this is not going to stop by dickering away at one land claim or whatever you want to call it. It's not a land claim. We know whose land it is. It's the government's form of a land claim. It has nothing to do with a land claim.
Is there sources of information that permits the public to follow what you're doing?
Not at all. There's not much. Stuff like this doesn't get published across Canada. I've been across Canada. You really have to search if there's a story going on, like for instance with Sean Brandt. You don't hear about that on the news in BC. You don't hear about it on the news in Alberta either, or Saskatchewan or whatever. The only way you hear it is if you just happen to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that you'll hear. Any history, any problems with, regardless whether it's First Nations or Six Nations. Six Nations you never hear on the news. I mean, Canada doesn't even know that there's a difference between First Nations and Six Nations. That's the problem, and that's really what needs to be settled here once and for all is...
Could you tell us the difference?
Six Nations is the title holder to Turtle Island. In general, they were their first ones here. We have proof, unequivocal proof, that Six Nations were here first, long before anybody else. We've uncovered many burial sites, Iroquois villages. There's an Iroquois village in downtown Toronto. There's an Iroquois village in downtown Kingston. There's an Iroquois village in downtown Brantford. With burial sites, and the general public don't even know that. We've been here forever, and are legal title holders to the land. But there was a deal made that wasn't fulfilled. First Nations is a government form of managing their, what they call, Indian problem, I would say, is what they seemingly call everything. First Nations is nothing but a corporate entity, unfortunately, as far as I'm concerned.
There's an article that, or a call that you made in the newspaper of around here. What's the name of the newspaper?
The Frontenac News.
Yeah. And also there's the MNN News on the internet.
Yes, Mohawk Nation News, yeah. Unfortunately, the Mohawk Nation News is going to be down for a little while because of what happened to the owner getting beaten up at the border and stuff, so she's very ill. So unfortunately, we don't know what's going to happen 100% for sure yet with the Mohawk Nation News. So all our other media sources are kind of limited at this time.
Can you talk a bit more about the Confederacy?
As far as
the history of the Confederacy, the recent struggles of the Confederacy?
Well, the recent struggles of the Confederacy, I think at this point I have to leave any internal business that goes on inside the Confederacy. I feel at this point they're too vulnerable to release any information of what's going on internally because, they're vulnerable based on... the government has got more power than we do. So I think our internal problems have to stay, if we have internal problems, have to stay internal until this takes to the next level, as far as I go. as far as that goes. We all are living the great law, and as long as we abide from that, by that, we break no laws. So that's what I have to live by.
So why do you choose to play under, well, or to exert this fight under the government law, or the Canadian law?
Well, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. That's one way of, I think. I mean, we are living in Canada. We all have to get along. There's no need for arresting people or hurting people any longer. I just cannot understand how this even would have been, how this could have happened in the first place. Not just to my Charvets at Charvet Lake and what happened with them. That is enough of corruption on that end that I can't believe that the government would have let this or go on this long and not acknowledge right from the start. I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I can't figure that out. I can't. I don't even know what to say. I find it really hard to believe that any government would let this happen, let this go on this long, and actually offer money to people for damages and admit that they were wrong, but yet they sure don't want to get to the real problem at the end of the day, which is who owns this land in the first place, which should be a concern for every Canadian or U.S. citizen, because we are one country, regardless how anybody wants to accept it. Turtle Island is one country, under the Iroquois Confederacy, anyhow.
And how do you think the government could repair what you've done?
Well, honesty is the
best
policy.
Because you're going to dialogue with him, right?
Yeah. Honesty is the best policy. I've learned that over my lifetime. But whether Canada is willing to be honest at this point is another thing. In order to fix it, we have to sit down at a table, and not with letters flying back and forth and 6 weeks holidays for summer and that kind of stuff. This is a serious problem in Canada. I mean, they keep calling, every time I hear it, they call it the Indian problem. Well, it has, it's the Indian problem, all right. But it's us as natives that it's the problem for. I mean, people condemn the natives of Canada for, oh, they're fighting for this and they're fighting for that. But the only thing the natives ever fight for is for our Mother Earth, which is our water, our air, our stripping of the lands. You don't hear natives fighting, asking for that they want $100,000 for water systems because they don't get it. You know, being that I came from Vancouver Island, across Canada, it's the same problem. You got elders, respected elders of your community, living in moldy houses. It has nothing to do with them. It's the government that doesn't give them the funding in order to upgrade their houses. Like, whether I was a white man or whether I was native, that's not fair in anybody's jurisdiction. You don't steal somebody's land and then say, well, we're not going to help you anymore. You can't buy land without consideration in any legal real estate contract. You can't live in somebody's house and say, well, I'm not going to pay you for 250 years. But if that's the way it is, then that's, yeah.
Do you think there's other than the government that are involved in
this
rape of land?
Yeah, sure there is. The government and their government agencies and their agencies' agencies. I mean, any information that I've pulled on any one government agency. It runs through three or four different corporations before it gets back to the people that's rightfully getting the money in the first place. There's people that the government pays as contractors or whatever to facilitate their needs. They're basically government employees. There's one firm that's personally associated with my family's history who has never pulled the history, yet they are a research company for Indian Affairs. They advertise it right on their website that they do all their work for Indian Affairs. And they get really good money to the tune of, from one community, they get I have confirmation that they've gotten $156,000 in 1 year to look after the membership or whatever they want. It sounds like a solicitation to me, but to go from one community that originally only had 1,000 people to 4,500 people because the government hired a company to come in and get some more people. The government uses agencies, I believe, based on the evidence that I've uncovered, anyhow.
In general, the government continue for years and years and years to colonize the territory, your communities, us. Can you think that they can do better actions? Can we believe on this government to do anything?
Well, I gotta watch myself or there'll be a helicopter flying over. I'll always have faith in mankind, I guess. I would like to think that the government could sit down, or who the queen for that matter, or she could send one of her children to come and see us. And in any good business relationship, they call it, if you're belly to belly, you have a better communication factor. And I firmly believe that if the government would sit at a table and talk to us face to face rather than send people to do this and send people to do that and send, I do have some hope. I would like to think there would be hope that they would be willing to sit down and talk and work this out and settle it once and for all. Because the problem's not going to go away. And they can't just give natives fire water anymore and they'll go away. Natives are now educated as well. And they're professors and doctors and lawyers and all kinds of people now. So people know the truth, and a lot of people I feel are educated and getting concerned. It's the regular folk that aren't being concerned, the people that we have to live with on a daily basis. And that's where the problem lies. If if we could educate our neighbors that live in our same communities, that would help as well. I would like to think that the government could solve this problem. I would like to believe they could, but they first got to talk.
And don't you think they have a lot of interest in exploiting the land? Too much interest to recognize equality between people and
yes,
harmony with
yeah,
Earth?
They do. They have a lot to lose. But the problem's going to get worse. So if they think they're going to lose a little chunk of land now, what's going to be another 150 years? That's what it's all about for us. We work towards, as natives, we work towards future generations. We're trying to protect our land now for our future generations because nobody else seems to care. They let a uranium mine come in and pollute the water. Why should we wait? It doesn't work for me here on my ancestral grounds that carries my family name on it to know that there's a uranium mine in the backyard, and that people are can't drink the water. So that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
But we know that economic rules, the society in general, and the government, and the economic being that kind of things like uranium mining and other kind of mining will destroy the territories, and the economic becomes global, and influence also the government.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't influence, they organize themselves to put the government on some ways,
mm-hmm.
to do what they want to do. So, except from a big fight, you think it's possible to arrange this?
I would like to think that it could be, yes, I still would like to say. And according to the Iroquois Confederacy, and yes, that is a Mohawk as well, that they all live by what's called the Great Law, and it is the Great Law of Peace, not of anything else, not of fighting, not of anything else. Our Great Law does say that we will fight to the death, which everybody in life does, whether you're, no matter what nationality you are, you do fight to the death for your right. And that's what every Mohawk lives by. So yeah, I would still say that yes, there is a way to resolve this without fighting or anything else. It's not fair when the government sends in a team of 400 SWAT to a community where there's 70 people, and some of them are women and children. I think that should be addressed, because I don't think they send in 22,000 Mohawks on 70 white people under any circumstance. That I can say for a fact. From personal experience, I, at this point in time, have never met a violent Mohawk yet. They're all very loving people. Yes, they're very driven people as far as protecting their land, but somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. I mean, the politicians will let a uranium mine happen in their backyard. I was told in the beginning of this uranium mine that it was 10 test drill sites. 10 test drill sites. It's not a uranium mine. And when you see in the paper and you see the documents and get the evidence that now it's 109 and 30,000 acres of land is stripped, there's something wrong there. So, yeah.
What do you know about Frontenac Ventures? Is the company who wants to make this uranium mine?
I don't know George White from Frontenac Ventures. I've never had the opportunity to meet him. I have tried to send him numerous messages, numerous faxes. For a mining exploration company that's got 109 holes and done all this work, I find it hard to believe that they have a one-page website. I don't know who he is. I can't explain. And I don't understand anything about it at all. Or what the company is. I thought it was strictly an exploration company, but I don't know how that happens, 109 holes with a little company. But.
Is there some sphere of the subject that you would like to dig more? Or other things to say?
I don't for me, you mean? Is there anything more I want to say? Or anything I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of all these police coming around. I mean, they make me very uncomfortable. I just do not understand why they feel that being a Mohawk, you have to be under a microscope with the police department. That leads me to believe that Canada really does know that the Mohawks own the land, and why they're afraid of us, I have no idea. I can't figure that out. Anyone that I've ever met have been a really good person. I mean, we've been offered everything from a home to any food. Everywhere you go, they're feeding you, they're hugging you, they're wonderful, absolutely wonderful people. You get text messages from people that they label as a terrorist, and when you read the text message, it's like there's no way. I mean, I have a really hard time to believe that these people have the nerve to call anybody a terrorist. And yet endorse it on a political poster. It doesn't work for me either, but sorry. Okay. Yeah.
They don't recognize all the influence that had the Native people.
Not by any means at all. They sure don't give our elders the respect they deserve, and that's not acceptable.
They know we are a sovereign nation, they just don't want to recognize it. Because they recognize that we are sovereign people, they have to turn around and they would have to work nation to nation. As most average Canadians think that we lost, we should just shut up and stop our whining from about land claims, as in Sherbert Lake, as in the Culbertson Track, or the Haidaman, as Six Nations. They think as Mohawk people we should just live with it. We get the status cards, you don't have to pay taxes, you don't have to pay to go to school, you get all these privileges, but it's not like that. As I understand, companies are allowed to choose if they want to accept these so-called status cards, and myself, I find the status cards as an insult, because white people don't have to have a card to say that they're white, but we have to have a card to state that we are Native. And it's just...
We even have our own lane at the border now. The Natives even have their own lane at the border now.
Do you think it's actually a privilege, according to your people?
Like, if Europeans would never have come over, if we would have stayed as the same as we always were, there would have been no reason to... everybody got along fine. Like, if we had our nations and nations, there's, I believe, 600 different bands across Canada of Native people. And we had trading rights between other nations. And, of course, there's going to be fights between other nations, but Canada fights between other nations itself. They're fighting against Afghanistan right now, the so-called terrorists in Afghanistan. So it's just regular people in a regular nation.
If the Canadian taxpayers realize that the government spends more money avoiding the so-called, what they call, Indian problem, than they would if they would just settle us once and for all and keep peace in our own country. I mean, I find it real, you know, they waste money avoiding the problem. They could sit down, talk with us, get it all over with at one time. And, you know, Canada is supposed to be a peacekeeping nation, and they can't even keep peace amongst their own country. I don't think that they have the right to send this military to any other country to help them keep peace.